رمضان نايتس on البيان راديو.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. السلام عليكم brothers and sisters and welcome to Ramadan Nights. We are live from البيان راديو studios for our second edition of our youth Ramadan Nights program, and I'm pleased to be joined by a few brothers. Firstly, Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum, Muhammad.
Wa alaikum assalam.
Muhammad al-Sheikh, ahla wa sahlan. Ahmed. Assalamu alaikum, Ahmed.
Wa alaikum assalam. Wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Akhi Nidal, how are you?
Alhamdulillah, brother. Nice to have you. Muhammad Saleh. Assalamu alaikum, Muhammad.
Wa alaikum assalam, Sheikh. How are you?
Alhamdulillah, brother. And brother Adnan.
Assalamu alaikum.
Adnan.
Back again.
Back from last week. It's good to have you once again, dear brothers. And we'd like to welcome all our listeners listening on 107.9 FM in Sydney and all our listeners listening through our Wi-Fi radios and apps. It's good to have you with us live from Bayan Radio Studios during the blessed month of Ramadan. Now we have an action-packed program as always. We're going to speak about a few topics to do with a young person in high school, maybe not knowing what field to choose. We're going to try to shed some light on that with some brothers who have experience on this field. We're also going to speak about good company and bad company at uni, and maybe even at school, you know, finishing high school. So let's start with the first topic of discussion today. And if you have anything to say, you want to add anything to our listeners, you can on our Facebook page, Twitter and Instagram, or call in 9740-6160. Let's start with choosing a degree or choosing a field to enter. You know, I'd like to think that, you know, I mean, about to finish high school, you know, as many may fall into, I don't know what I'm going to do. What's some advice you would give Brother Muhammad in choosing a field or something to study?
Well, I feel that any field you choose, it's you shouldn't be too strict on yourself. Plan ahead and be realistic. So basically, whatever field, whether it's, you know, engineering, law, whatever it is, just you should choose something that later on in life you can use to help, you know, the Muslim Ummah in any way. So you got to be realistic in that manner. And just remember, whatever you choose to do, to be the best at what you do.
Excellent. So, you know, have high aspirations, maybe.
Yeah, that's,
you know,
correct.
Aim high. Mm-hmm. Now, before you chose what you're doing at uni, did you actually get some experience in that field before you actually went out there and chose that topic? Or
no, what I did was I spoke to people that were very experienced in the field, and I got a bit of an understanding from that. And then I kind of knew that it was for me.
Excellent.
So from that, I just, you know, decided to choose what I chose.
Excellent. Brother Ahmed, what would you advise someone who wants to choose a degree or field, maybe a bit confused? Should he speak to someone? Should he try to, you know, what do they call it, work experience maybe?
Yeah. as Muhammad said, I think speaking to those that are currently in the field is one of the best things that you can do, because you're only going to be so limited in what you see online, the work experience that you do. So always, it's, you know, it's part of like shura in a sense. Speaking to those that are in the field, in a bunch of fields that you're interested in, and then from there that can help, you know, guide your decision to something a bit more streamlined. And then obviously you work hard to get the mark that's needed to get into any field, and then from there whatever is written is written.
I think on that note as well. I think on that note as well, it's good to ask and talk to people that are older and have many, many years in a degree. If you talk to someone that's fresh out of uni and just got their job, they're very excited and they've only seen that career in their whole life. So they're going to say it's the best career, and the world can't move without, for example, accountants or without lawyers and stuff like that, which is true. But you're getting only a one-sided view of someone that's just excited to come out of uni and just come on a workforce. So I think it's very beneficial to talk and speak to people that have many years of experience. And don't only speak to one person, speak to many people. Speak to people that, for example, with engineering, it's very, very broad. You can speak to structural engineers, you can talk to road engineers, civil design. There's a lot of different aspects, and you have to ensure that the person that you're speaking to, what degree do they actually work in? Yes, it might be civil engineering, for example, but there's like 8-9 different parts in civil engineering. Yes, it may be in a medical field, but which part of the medical field? Are they a doctor? Are they a GP? Are they a nurse? And stuff like that. As well, on that note, everyone knows, get some work experience when you're in high school, when you've just finished. Maybe speak to someone and don't work, you know, not necessarily need to work with pay, but work with someone one day or 2 days and see how the job is. It's much more different when you go into the office or you go onto site and you see what the actual actions are, rather than looking up online and saying, it's the best work. All you got to do is delegate tasks and you're there with a shovel lifting and moving stuff. So yeah, you got to go and see and be realistic and see what the actual, what the job requires.
Excellent advice. And Jazakallah khair. Brother Muhammad, what would you advise?
Yeah, look, I think, you know, it's a normal thing, you know, in year 9 or 10 at a younger age to be indecisive or not, you know, clearly know what you want to study. You know, at the end of the day, it's a career that, you know, most likely you'll be spending for the rest of your life. So it is an important decision that you must make. And, you know, at a young age, you're still a bit confused. You don't know, you know, is this good for me? You don't know much about the job. You don't know much about, you know, what you'll be doing. So what I think, you know, the best thing is do some subjects in school that you think you're interested or you've got an interest in, and see how you go in those subjects. Continue throughout the years, you know, year 11, year 12. You know, if you're doing chemistry, you're doing any science subjects, maybe you want to do a, you know, science-related degree at university. You know, if you're doing more like woodwork, technology, or those type of, you know, studies at school, you might want to consider doing a trade. So what I think is best is, so choose topics that you're interested at school, choose subjects that you do like, do them at school, see how you go. If you excel in those subjects and, you know, you've got an interest in them, then search, you know, what can I do? Search out, you know, what degrees, you know, encompass these subjects. For example, you know, I'm good in chemistry, I'm good in economics. Maybe, you know, a chemical engineer is an ideal thing. You know, you're interested in construction, but you don't want to do the labor work. You want to do the designing, maybe a civil engineer. So the best thing is, you know, getting knowledge. So know what you want to, so search for, you know, what you want to do.
On that note, it's always good to consider the job and what it entails and whether that aligns with your Islamic guidelines, with your, is it appropriate Islamically, what paths can you take in this sort of thing. So when it comes to, for instance, accounting or working in the banks, you know, there's paths that you can take that will lead you down riba and haram and those sort of things, whereas there's other paths that you can take that are fine and beneficial to the community, inshallah.
Something I advise against is asking too many people. If you do that, you start to get a diluted opinion and you start to get confused. So I think it's very good to speak to certain people that are wise and experienced.
So you don't like to be over too much advice.
Yeah, I wouldn't speak to all your friends and all your uncles and, you know, your aunties. Just speak to a few people that are smart and wise, and I think that's the most beneficial.
Now, and I'm getting some messages by some brothers, you know, they got some advice. Call in 9740-6160. Call in and give us your advice. 9740-6160. Brother Muhammad.
So just also adding to that, you know, when you want to choose something, you have to understand, you know, it's a competitive market. So you're going to hear a lot of things like, oh, you know, you're not going to find a job in this, or, you know, the market's down, or there's no work in, you know, that field you're choosing. You're going to hear that a lot. I think, you know, the best thing to do is do your own research, you know, go online, do some research, look at the market, look at the degree, look at the field you're choosing, and see, is there work in that? Is there, you know, is there an opportunity where, you know, I can take, you know, especially, you know, if you're doing something that that's not offered much in the country, like, for example, in Sydney in Australia, and if you're studying petroleum engineering, you know, there's really limited work in that. So the best thing is, so, you know, do some research, because you're going to hear a lot of, you know, people saying, oh, look, it's a dead market, or, you know, there's no work in it. But, like, from my experience, you know, growing up and deciding what to choose, a lot of people will be like, you know, oh, look, there's no work for this, there's no work for that. It came to the point where I got frustrated and said, so everything I wanted to do, there's no work in it. And it just didn't make sense. So best thing is, don't get, you know, you're going to hear a lot of, you know, comments like that. Don't be overwhelmed. Don't, you know, don't feel like, oh, everything I do isn't working. So I think, you know, the best thing for that is just do further research and, you know, and you make the decision at the end.
Jazakallah khair, brother Muhammad. Just sorry to cut you off. We've got a call. Assalamu alaikum. You're live on the BN Radio.
Assalamu rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Who's that? Alhamdulillah, how are you, brother? Who's the caller?
Akh Nazir Masqali.
Nazir, ahlan bi Nazir. Good to have you on, brother. Any advice you have?
Alhamdulillah, Allah jazakum khair al advice. I just give an input, something that I think is really, really basic, and a student needs to know that when someone goes to uni or ever commit to study, that the intention must be clear, and the intention is purely for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When one needs to study, he studies for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the best of knowledge to study is the sharia, the knowledge of the deen. This is the best of knowledge. Now, if one wants to go into the knowledge of the dunya, he is allowed to go into the knowledge of the dunya. However, he needs to make his intentions that he is going to gain this knowledge of the dunya to assist the Muslims. And if this knowledge is going to take him away from Islam, and if this knowledge is going to is done for other than the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and other than to serve the Muslims, then wallahu a'lam if this is going to be accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because he's doing it for other than the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So I think that's a lot of, it's a point that a lot of people really forget about, in that you seek knowledge for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you seek knowledge for Allah for assisting the Muslims in uniting them as a nation, and whatever cause they are doing for the sake of Allah.
JazakAllah khair, Brother Nazir. Brother Nazir, I got one question for you. How did you choose your profession? Like, what made you go in the field you chose?
I'm a physiotherapist by occupation.
I didn't want to quote that. You don't want to get it at too many calls, because everyone's got a bad back in this area.
My back and my neck, you know, it's common.
Shafahum Allah.
Especially Adnan.
I wanted to get into the science of health and medicine to assist the Muslims in any way I can.
Excellent. Barakallah. Very good.
And whether it be financially, whether it be with my knowledge, whichever way is possible. And I look at the physiotherapy occupation as a gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us the knowledge of, you can say, healing in a way, to assist people get over their injuries or treat their injuries or recover from operations and their rehab and whatever it may be. So you do istikhara and then you rely on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You do your istikhara, you try your best, you put what you think is beneficial after you ask the people of knowledge. وَاسْأَلُوا عَلَى الذِّكْرِ إِن كُنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ وَشَاوِرْهُمْ فِي الْأَمْرِ فَإِذَا عَزَمْتَ فَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ. You ask the people, you shawirhum, you make shura, you ask the people in discussion about that topic, and then you get their advice, and then from there you rely on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and you go forth with that decision that you made. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decides it to be what is beneficial for you in this dunya and the akhirah, then he will grant that for you. And if he decides that it's not beneficial for you, he will keep you away from it.
JazakAllah khair, Brother Nazir. Barakallah feek. Thanks for the call. Assalamu alaikum. That was a beautiful call. Anyone else would like to call in and contribute, you can. 97406160. We are currently live from the BN Radio Studios for Ramadan Nights Youth Edition. We are discussing choosing a degree. I think we covered pretty much everything.
Yeah, seems to be.
Alhamdulillah. Let's move on to the next question, and that is the next issue. Good friends, good company versus bad company and bad friends. Brother Muhammad, what would you advise? Having a good circle of friends, or maybe we'll start off with Ahmed.
I think friends are going to dictate a huge portion of your life. I went to initially East Hills Boys, and the group of boys that I was around at the time were into a lot of the haram, the smoking, the not so much alcohol. They were very young at that time, but girls and what have you. And I left that school in year 11 or so, and then seeing them now, a lot of other boys got dragged into that crowd, and you see them now, they're all drinking, smoking, alcohol, the whole lot. And you'll find all their names, they're all Muslim boys, and it's become the norm amongst them, and they drag others into that environment with them. Whereas when you're surrounded by good brothers who, you know, they pray their prayers and they are dutiful to their parents and they're respectful, they have the good akhlaq and the good adab, you'll find that you slowly tend to be that way as well yourself. You start to become more like that as well. And with that, you push each other to to betterness, inshallah. And it's from the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you know, where if you befriend a myth, you smell like smoke. If you befriend a perfume seller, you smell like perfume. Allah ta'ala alam.
Beautiful. So even if you don't buy the perfume, you still get a good smell from it.
Yeah, inshallah. Yeah.
Brother Muhammad, what do you think? Good company, bad company? You know, how to choose the effects of it?
Look, your friends are the ones that, you know, will encourage you to either do good or to do bad. So if they are encouraging you to do bad, I think it means that you should probably move away from them. You should find friends that, you know, encourage you, let's say you're at uni, to go to the musalla and pray your prayers in the musalla. They're not telling you, come out, let's go here, let's go there. They encourage you to study. You can have fun, you can have fun, you can go out with your friends. But in the end of the day, if they're telling you to do bad, you know, I'd advise to stay away from them. Even when you're in the group, you should do your best to encourage them to do good. Tell them, you know, let's talk about this, you know, some khair or some goodness. If they do that, you can be the one that motivates the group to do good.
Now, is there much like amongst, you know, the brothers that you have been with, is there much like leadership where you see certain brothers taking it upon themselves to lead others, like a senior role, a mentoring role? I think we touched upon it last episode. But do we get that? Do we get brothers where they really take it upon themselves? Maybe they're a bit, you know, more senior than others. Do we see that, Adnan?
At uni, yeah, it is very evident. You can see the brothers at the MSAs and stuff, events like that. And it's very good upon their behalf. They're bringing a lot of young Muslims and young lost people that don't have, for example, many friends at uni or stuff like that. And it helps a lot. Wallah, like, I think it's upon everyone that's...
Sorry to cut you off, then we got a call. Let's take this call. No, Assalamu alaikum, you're live on Al-Bayan Radio.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Big nice.
What's your name, brother?
My name is Muhammad.
Muhammad, ahlan Muhammad. Fadal, brother.
Bismillah, alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillah, amma ba'd. The main reason I'm calling is to support the wonderful work of Al-Bayan Radio.
Ya say Muhammad Khadar.
Barakallah fiqh, brother.
Oh, well, I can't negate or confirm that.
The voice of Al-Bayan.
Are you you're one of the main voices on Bayan. Like, are you doing something to your voice so I don't pick it up?
Can you give us a phrase?
Akhi, you just asked for my name. My name is Muhammad.
Ahlan wa sahlan. Beautiful to hear your voice, brother, although I'm hearing it all day. But anyway, it doesn't matter.
JazakAllah khair, akhi. We hear your voice all the time as well, but we never get sick of it.
Alhamdulillah.
All the work that you do. Yaakum,
brother. Barakallah fiqh.
Tabarakallah. You carry a thought, Nidal, and the work that you do. Tabarakallah. May Allah reward you.
Wayaakum.
I want you to know that all the boys are behind you, the community is behind you. JazakAllah khair for the work that you're doing on our behalf.
Barakallah fiq, barakallah fiq. What advice do you have regarding what we're discussing so far?
Okay, look, from my personal experience, from what I found, you know, you go through school, you go through uni, you go through life at work and whatnot. Okay, there is nothing like friendship for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To have friends who love you for the sake of Allah, that you come for the sake of Allah and you part for the sake of Allah and you discuss things that please Allah, and you encourage one another upon what's right and righteous and pleases Allah and his Messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And you kind of discourage, you know, discourage each other on what doesn't please Allah and what's harmful for the hereafter. You cannot find friendship better than that on the face of this earth ever, wherever you go. And you can classify friendship in many different ways. People, they want to become your friends for their own sake, you know, because they're lonely. Some people want to, and they want to have people around them so that they don't feel like they're losers, you know? But when you have people who genuinely care for you, genuinely are interested in your well-being, they're the friends that love you for the sake of Allah and encourage you, to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and honestly and sincerely want to see you doing well. And I have to say it's one of the biggest blessings in the world to have brothers like that around you. And wallahi, the mahroom is the one who does not have brothers they feel they love for the sake of Allah, and the mahrum is the one who actually doesn't understand or know what is this love for the sake of Allah. How can I have friends whom I love for the sake of Allah? To not understand this concept or not to taste its sweetness is Allah, one of the big hirman in this world. So the advice that I give the listeners is that try and seek this love for the sake of Allah. Try and seek it in righteous brothers, in brothers who you see or feel fear Allah, in the centers, in the masajid, the imams, the mashayikh, the brothers, the du'at. try and seek them. They're everywhere. They're everywhere. You're bound to find them anywhere, but you're not going to find them at the wrong places. Find them at the right places. Find them in the centers. Find them wherever you look to find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You will find these people. And when you mix with them and spend time with them, whether it's on the i'tikaf, or whether it's at a camp, or whether it's at a conference, or any kind of travel,
soccer,
or you know what, even over a meal, you know, you'll find subhanAllah, open doors for you, and you say, where have I been wasting my time with the worst company? I should be with people like this.
Mm.
Wallahu ta'ala a'lam. That's my 2 cents worth, Akh Nidal.
It's more than 2 cents, brother. Jazakallah khair. we love hearing your voice.
I want to thank all your guests as well, especially Muhammad. I want to apologize for all the nutbags and all the
stuff.
And I'm asking Allah for forgiveness every time he's whacked me on the field and caused a limp.
They're well deserved.
It's Ramadan.
The same goes to you, Muhammad Kadha. Forgive us, yeah?
Ahmed Rafiq. If I knew Ahmed Rafiq was on air, I wouldn't have called. There's no place for me when Ahmed Rafiq's around.
Barakallah feek, Muhammad. Jazakallah khair for the call. We always love hearing your voice.
No worries, Akhi.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum assalam.
Now, most of us know Muhammad Khadar. He has a program during Ramadan called Hidayah of an Ayah, one of the best programs we have on. I ask Allah to bless him and his family. Mm-hmm. And whoever hasn't heard the program can catch up on the program on our podcast app, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. Now, back to Adnan. We're speaking about...
I think as well on that note about the good company, of course, as everyone else said before me, it's very beneficial to have good friends. Not only in the fact that they avoid you from haram, but they entice you to what's good. And you see, you don't want to be one of the brothers that come back onto the deen about 20, like when you're older and you reject your friends and now you're alone, or now you're behind. You see other brothers in front of you that have excelled, that know how to read the Quran, for example, that went to Quran classes as they were young, or not even young, out of their own, we were at the age of 20 or at the age of 21. And it's not the best feeling looking back and seeing other people way ahead of you. It's demotivating, and you feel down yourself. I think, of course, it's best to have good friends and ones that entice you to do what's halal. And there's many, many halal options for fun. You don't need to be what is the norm today and what people say is the norm today, being in a Western society. You can have fun in many, many halal ways. There's events that you can go to. There's trips, camping and stuff like that. It doesn't need to be what's the typical Western way.
Clubbing and whatnot.
Yeah. That
Alhamdulillah, yeah.
Brother Muhammad.
Look, just to add on to that, you know, a lot of people say, well, look, I'm good, and my friends don't influence me. So, you know, we'll go out, we'll hang out, but, you know, I won't do anything wrong and I'll just be good. But, you know, there's a problem in that, because when you surround yourself with bad, you're limiting yourself to only bad. You're not, you know, you're not exposing yourself to good. And so what that does is it makes you feel, look, you know, I'm doing all this good, and look, all these people doing that bad, and gives you that feeling, look, I'm good and I'm doing that all that good. Whereas, you know, we should change it around. We should always look at the people doing better than us. We should surround ourselves with a good, surround ourselves with, you know, the students of knowledge, the mashayikh, brothers that do good. Why? So we could look up to them and we can, you know, inshallah, strive to become like them. So when you surround yourself with good, it gives you that competition. That competition where you can, you know, assess yourself, you know, where am I? Where am I based? You know, why are these guys, you know, I go to uni, I work, they go to uni, they're studying, we're all doing the same thing. But, you know, why does this guy know this much of a Quran? Why do they know this much? You know, you're basically, you know, you're setting up a standard that, you know, you can start achieving. And it's, you know, it's hard to do things alone. You know, to memorize Quran just by yourself, or to study a hadith by yourself. You need that push, you need that motivation, you know. For example, you know, going to Tarawih, we're in the month of Ramadan, you know, sometimes you feel lazy, but you know, when you get that phone call from that good mate and say, look, I'm going, do you want to come? You know, that phone call is from that good friend has just, you know, given you rewards that if you didn't have that good friend and not went, you would have missed out on those rewards. So, you know, let go of that thought that, you know, oh, I'm good, I don't do anything bad. Yeah, I do hang out with bad people, but I, you know, I only do good things. Because really, you don't know, it's limiting you, to, you know, to get good deeds. It's limiting you in, you know, achieving, excelling, you know, getting more beneficial Islamic knowledge. And yani, so why would you put yourself in that position? Why would you put yourself in a position where, you know, you think you're good, and, you know, when you're comparing yourself to, you know, people at the bottom?
JazakAllah khair, brother Muhammad. We'll finish off with this point by reminding the brothers and sisters of the verse where Allah says, "Ayyuhu believe fi Allah wa kunu ma'as sadiqin." Ayyuhu believe fi Allah and be with the truthful. The truthful in speech, the truthful in beliefs, and the truthful in actions. Inshallah, we'll take a short break and come back for more of Ramadan Nights live from the Bayan Radio Studios. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
هنا مروا وكانوا قدوة للناس هنا مروا وكانوا قادة أطهار
هنا مروا
وكانوا قدوة وكانوا بين كل الناس هم السادات والأخيار
وكانوا بين كل الناس هم السادات والأخيار
هم السادات والأخيار نصحوا وقد دق الردى الأجراس متى نصحوا متى يا أمة المليار
متى نصحوا
وقد دق الردى الأجراس
متى نصحوا
متى يا أمة المليار تعود صبحنا الأنفاس ونعلي راية المختار
تعود لصبحنا الأنفاس ونعلي راية المختار
ونعلي راية المختار
نشد الدنيا فرحا معنا والأمل المشرق يتبعنا
نشد الدنيا فرحا معنا والأمل المشرق يتبعنا
من أمم وبقاع شتى يجمعنا خير يجمعنا خير يجمعنا خير يجمعنا علمنا صنعة أخيار نصنع خيرا يصنعنا علمنا أن نزرع نفعا حتى نجني ما ينفعنا
نشد الدنيا فرحا معنا
معنا
والأمل المشرق يتبعنا
من أمم وبقاع شتى يجمعنا خير يجمعنا خير وطلاب القمة دافعنا ونسارع في الخيرات بلا كلل والفائز أسرعنا تشد الدنيا فرحا معنا.
Assalamu alaikum brothers and sisters and welcome back to Al Bayan Radio. We are live for Ramadan Nights Youth Edition Part 2. I have brother Muhammad, Ahmed, Muhammad and Adnan live with me in the studio. It's an honor and a privilege to have them with me. We spoke about choosing a field or degree in the first part of the episode and also spoke about having good friends and good company. Now I would like a question, and I know you've all just told me that it's exam time, it's Ramadan. How do we maximize ibadah during the exam period? I know from what I've just been discussing off air with you that maybe some will say, you know what, I'm not going to fast, I need to study. You know what, don't worry about tarweeh, I can study in that hour. Or even you know, tarweeh is sunnah, something fard, like the, you know, Maghrib and Isha, I'll just pray them together, or Dhuhr and Asr, I'll just pray them together. So starting to do even haram, you know, how can we make sure we maximize our worship and maintain our worship in during exam period, especially during season of worship like Ramadan? Ma'adnan?
Before we start talking about maximizing stuff, I think first things first, we got to talk about ensuring like that we don't miss out on any of the fard. So as a Muslim and as a student and stuff, we shouldn't be neglecting any of the fard at the first before we start with any sunnah and stuff. So I think we should be going to the masajid for the fard prayers, even if it's not. We start off going to the masjid for the fard prayers, making sure that we're fasting and stuff, because a lot of people come up with the excuse that, oh, it's too hard for me to fast and study or be at uni and fast and stuff like that, which isn't a allowed thing in Islam. Ensuring that we're praying while we're fasting, of course, and ensuring we're praying while at uni, having an exam making sure that we're on the right timing and stuff.
That works. Sorry, I meant to cut you off.
Tell me.
That extends to everything. You know, it starts before uni. You know, setting up your timetable in a way that allows you to pray your dhuhr prayer at the musalla. Setting up your timetable so Jum'ah is accessible to you. Or if not, say you have a compulsory class at the appointed Jum'ah time, organizing a secondary Jum'ah with, you know, some of the shabab. And that way, you know, you've completed all your fara'id. And then that extends obviously through to your exam period. You know, subhanAllah, I think all the boys here, every year of our uni degree has been during Ramadan. All our exams have been during Ramadan. So balancing that taraweeh and your studies is a balancing act. And as Adnan said, you know, adhering to your fara'id, whether you want to skip or you want to pray taraweeh at the mosque is up to you. But at least ensure the minimum, you are praying your fara'id, and at minimum, I think it should be done in the masajid, because what better time to maximize your rewards than in the month of
the course. Back to that note, I think everyone knows themselves. So if you have an exam in a couple of days' time, in 2-3 days' time, it's understandable to maybe not go to every single taraweeh the day before, to not go to taraweeh the night before. But if you have an exam in 2-3 weeks' time, or you have an assignment in 2-3 weeks' time, you've got time to go and to taraweeh. Of course, it's a great act, and especially in Ramadan, the rewards are maximized. So I think we should be trying to go to as many taraweeh as we can, and not take this lightly and take it easy. Oh, I've got an exam 2 weeks. Oh, I'll skip this time or I'll skip this day. Because once it becomes repetitive, khalas, you're going into that lazy habit. So we should be trying to maximize our rewards, even sneaking in, for example, 20 minutes of Quran after we iftar after we have Fajr prayer, because we'll be sitting down doing nothing at all. Because not everyone studies straight away after iftar time. You have from 5 to 6 o'clock, everyone's still eating. 6 to 7, everyone wants to take
one
a
hour
break.
Eating, huh? That's hectic.
Yeah.
What are you eating up, then?
If you're eating at two smoking Arabs.
Smoking Arabs, shout out to smoking Arabs. In Kimba. Have you had it yet, Adnan?
It's beautiful. It's good.
Brother Nawaf. Alhamdulillah.
Nazar cook.
Can't do that. I feel like people make a lot of excuses, and you know, the brothers can jump in and you know, help me out here. People around the world, they're fasting much longer hours than us, and they're still thriving. They're going for the same things that we go through. Sometimes we just have to push through and, yeah, do the tarawih prayer, do the fard prayers, and still study and do well in your exams. I feel like, you know, our generation makes a lot of excuses.
Hello, brother.
I kind of agree.
Brother Muhammad, now, a straight out question here, and be honest. Are any of you affected by fasting? Does it affect your study? Does it affect your performance when doing an exam? I've heard many different, differing views.
I feel like it doesn't. I feel like it's more of a mental, you know, mental game that, you know, we play on ourselves. If you wake up, you know, wake up, have something healthy and good to eat, you push through the day, you go to work, you do your exam, study, whatever it is, and you should have the strength to go through. Maybe towards the end of the day, just before you break your fast, you might get a bit lazy and tired, but that's understandable.
Look, I think it all depends on the individual. And, you know, the best way to face that is to manage your time properly, Yanni. So if you have an exam in the afternoon, we tend to, you know, get tired in the afternoon. You know, been fasting for 10 hours, 8 hours or whatnot. And you do begin to get tired. You might get a bit hungry, a bit thirsty. That's normal. So, you know, the best way to achieve the most, you know, to get the best result is if you know yourself, you're going to get tired and your exam's at 4 p.m. Take a little nap at dhuhr time. Take a little nap, you know, at 2 o'clock, you know, 1:30, 2 o'clock. Take a half an hour nap just to rejuvenate yourself, just to, you know, refresh. Go wash your face with cold water, you know, basically waken up, refresh yourself, have a little nap, rejuvenate, and that way you can be ready for your exam. Yani, and as well, if you've got an exam in the morning at 7 a.m. or, you know, 9 a.m., you know, you don't need to, what's it called? Like, you know, some people might stay up all night praying, which is great. But if you know, that prayer is going to affect you, and you, obviously it's not a farad prayer, you can say, okay, look, I'll pray this time. I'll have a nap at this time, then I'll continue praying here. So what I'm suggesting is, you know, each individual knows themselves. Everyone knows when their exam is. They all know how they react to different times, different conditions, different circumstances. So the best way to do it is actually manage your time and manage it in a way where you're most productive. You know, put your studying times in that, in those periods. So if you're productive early in the morning, then get a lot of studying done in the morning. And, you know, easy tasks like, you know, reading Quran that don't exert a lot of energy, or tasks that don't, you know, that don't require too much energy, maybe just reading in general or catching up on lectures. You know, you could do that at the comfort of sitting on your couch or sitting on your bed. I'd do those before iftar time. Why? Because I'd be drained before iftar time, and I think, you know, I can maximize, you know, my studies.
So plan, be realistic, and be proactive.
Excellent, brother Ahmed.
On that note, you know, the end of Ramadan is drawing near, so why not plan for the future? I know many brothers that fast throughout the year, the nawafila, you know, the Monday, Thursdays, the 13, 14, you know, the white days of every month, and they don't struggle at all whatsoever with the fasting during Ramadan. So yes, Ramadan is coming to an end, so there's not much left. Whether you can, you know, apply this beautiful advice that the brothers are giving is really on a case-by-case basis. But work, inshallah, maybe towards your future exams, your future Ramadans, if Allah grants you that life. And how you can do that is fast on a regular basis. Get your body accustomed to the fasting. We've got it easy now in winter. Practice fasting through spring, through summer, and then once again through autumn. And that way, once Ramadan comes around next year, inshallah, you fly through with, you know, like a breeze, you know, and you can get in as much study as you can, and it doesn't affect you whatsoever.
And look, I guess, you know, if people do get tired or feel uncomfortable, We have to make sacrifices. You know, this month of Ramadan only comes, you know, once a year. The last 10 days of Ramadan only comes, you know, 10 days out of 365 days. So, you know, we make sacrifices, because these days aren't promised to us. So we don't know if we're going to get another Ramadan. We don't know if we're going to get the next last 10 days. We don't know if we're going to see Laylatul Qadr again, if we've seen it. So, you know, if you're used to 6 to 8 hours of sleep, you know, maybe 4 hours to 6 hours for a couple of days, you know, make that sacrifice for that extra ajr. And, you know, wallah, it'll be worth it, you know, when we're all in our graves and when we all need that help. So, the sacrifice is a really important thing that we should make.
Fiqh, brother Muhammad. Now, sadly, we've drawn close to the end of the show. Any final advice on what we've discussed, especially since it's the last 10 days of Ramadan, for any student, since Ramadan's a few days away? Any general advice, Brother Muhammad?
balance.
You've said your lot, huh?
Balance your time. Don't waste your time as well. That's a big factor, especially during Ramadan. Don't waste your time, whether it's like tahanak with its useless stuff.
Can you translate tahanak, please?
Useless.
It's got no translation.
Yeah, so don't waste your time on useless stuff. Make sure every second is beneficial, whether it's you're studying for the dunya, whether you're studying for the akhirah. And we know ourselves. And especially with people that try to like push away their faraid and their duties that need to be done, and know that like what are we trying to avoid? For example, in our exam, we're having a thought in the back of our mind. Maybe I can skip salah. It's an excuse for me today. Or I'll do jama' qasr before my exam, even though I have time after. Or I'll break my fast a bit earlier and I'll make it up. Who are we scared of in the end? Like, we're gonna be disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then in the exam we're gonna be relying on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We're not gonna have a question. Oh, Allah sa'ad, Allah akbar, what are you saying? Subhanallah. You're trying to remember everything, but we're scared. We call upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the times of need. But we don't fulfill his commands. We don't do his stuff.
Some of the brothers now are travellers at uni, are they? They're doing jama' and qasr.
You actually excuse. Find that some people they bend the rules for their own benefit.
Yeah.
Inshallah. Brother Ahmed, any final advice?
Wallahi, like, you know, plan ahead. You know, plan ahead with anything that you do. Reflect upon where you're headed with everything, your studies, your friends, your dunya and your akhirah. And see, you know, what can you incorporate in your life to benefit benefit you in the future, benefit you in this life and in the akhirah, because we want what's best for us in this life and in the akhirah.
Barakallahu feek. Muhammad, brother Muhammad.
Yeah, so as I said previously, you know, the most important thing, just to manage your time, each individual to have a case by case, you know, different scenario. And the best way to go through that is just to manage your time and always remember the big test. The big test is, you know, we're only here temporary. We're all going to die one day. The big test is what really matters. We're all going to meet our Lord. So is it really worth it, you know, leaving a fast or leaving a prayer for an exam that at the end of the day, it's already written, you know, my fate for that exam. So just remember the purpose, you know, why your purpose in life. Which is, you know, the most important thing.
I want to interrupt. Just,
Barakallahu feek, Muhammad.
Sorry, the very last thing. I think people should be consistent with their studies beforehand. A lot of brothers, for example, they won't be studying the whole semester, and then the last semester they'll be like, oh, exams in Ramadan. It's all Ramadan's fault. Oh, that's why I'm not passing my exams, or it's too hard for me to put in my time.
The blame game.
Yeah, the blame game.
Always someone to blame except yourself.
Yeah, we've had 13 weeks of uni, and they don't want to do any study, and they want to put it all in Ramadan. So we've got to be consistent as well during uni, during the semester, whether it be at school or at uni. And inshallah, it will make things much more easier before exam time comes.
Are you one of those people, Adnan?
I have the right to remain silent.
How are your marks, Adnan? You've graduated, haven't you?
Almost. One more, two more.
May Allah bless your studies. May Allah bless all of you. Jazakumullah khair, brothers, for being with us tonight live on Albayan Radio. I'd like to thank the listeners for tuning in, and like to remind them as well that you can continue listening to Albayan Radio on 107.9 FM until June 17. And also you can download our app from the App Store and the Google Play Store. And also you can purchase our new Wi-Fi radios for $50, available at all ASWJ centres and also at Bukhari House in Auburn and Dar es Salaam in Lakemba. Barakallahu feekum, brothers and sisters. Until next time, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
This program was presented by Albayan Radio, the voice of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah.